Well, good morning, everybody. If this is your first time here with us, my name is Lance, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Bethel. As you can see, we're in a new series simply entitled, We Are Family. And today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at two different passages of Scripture today. Matthew chapter 16, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm going to be reading a couple of verses today. So if you didn't read your Bible this week, we're going to get all in this morning. Amen? So I'm going to help you out today. Matthew 16, here we go, starting at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, this is an important question, it's what Evan was talking about. Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Basically, they don't know. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Jesus made it personal. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, the rock of revelation, that Christ is Lord, I will build my church. I'm talking about the church today. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We know what keys do, right? Keys open things. They start things, right? And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Acts chapter 2. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. This is the first evangelistic message ever preached by one of the disciples. Starting in verse 36, here's Peter. He says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain. This is the verse that where I got born again on April 14th of 2000. That God has made him, that's Jesus, both Lord and Christ. This Jesus whom you have crucified. When you see the word you there, what do you think you need to do? Put your name there. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added, talking about being added to the church, that day about 3,000 souls. What was their response? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. An awe, or a sense of awe, maybe your version says, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Talk about wanting to be a church like this. This is what we desire. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Woo! That's a mouthful, isn't it? You know, we're in this series, We Are Family. What we're talking about is really re-engaging. We've been throughout the summer. COVID has obviously separated us for a period of time. So we've been talking about re-engaging in the life and the mission of this church family called Bethel. You know, I have been praying this week, and we're about to pray here in a moment. And my prayer for us today is that the Holy Spirit would stir us today. Because what you're about to hear, I want you to hear it like you've heard it for the very first time. I want the Holy Spirit to stir or ignite new passion in us today, to really excite you and I about the things of God once again. I know for me, as I've been preparing this, the things of God, being excited about the things of God. Spiritual hunger has been stirring in me afresh. This is what I want God or the Holy Spirit to do for us today. When I close this message, Pastor Vince is going to come up and he's going to give us an opportunity really to take a step. Today, we're going to give you an opportunity to get involved in what we call our community groups. This is our small group ministry here at Bethel. And it's important that we're not just gathering together as we saw here in Acts 2 on a Sunday morning, or in a sense in the temple in the church building, but it's also important that we're gathering together in homes or really in other places throughout the week. Amen? But more than just, I just don't want to focus though this morning on talking about the specifics of being involved in a group. What I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do for us today is really to paint a bigger picture for us of what you and I, as disciples or as followers of Jesus, what we are a part of. Let's pray. Father, help us today. Lord, I am asking you, Lord, that you would limit the distractions, Lord, today. And that you would, Holy Spirit, you would light a new fire in us today. You are the river of living water. And I'm praying today that you would light new passion, new living water, in a sense, in us today. Lord, stir us up. When we listen to what you want to say, let us hear it like we've heard. This is the first time we've ever heard it. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen. Amen. Let's start by asking a question today. When you hear the word church, what immediately begins to pop up, or what do you begin to think about? Some would say church is a place you go to better yourself, or church is a place you go to make yourself feel good, to get refreshed. Some would say the church is a place that I go to where I worship God with people on a similar journey. Maybe a place where I hopefully can hear something that will encourage me, or cause me to be a better person, or a better husband, a better dad, a better wife, or a better mom, or a better friend. Many times I believe this is how we define the church today. But if you were to ask the original disciples what the definition of church is, it would be much different than what you and I would say today. Because in those days, they didn't have church buildings like we have today. There wasn't anything called a church staff. There wasn't children's ministry. We've kind of gotten used to that, haven't we, here in the past 8 weeks of having our kids with us here, which we enjoy. But thank God we're reopening that on September 13th. Not to get them out of our hair or get them away from us. Can't think like that. We're reopening because why? Because we believe in ministering to kids on their level, that they can understand the gospel just as you and I can understand the gospel. Somebody say amen. I'm going to give you a lot of chances to say amen, so don't miss those today, all right? Encourage me. My wife's been away from me for all week, so I need encouragement today. Oh, thank you so much for having compassion on me. There wasn't any children's ministry in those days. There wasn't a cafe. Hey, man, I go to that church because they have great coffee. That did not exist in those days. See, a church for them was more than just a building they attended. A church for them was a gathering of people around an historic event that changed history. And that event was not that a church building was being built. This is not why they came together. Again, it wasn't because the children's ministry at this church was better than that church, and that's why they came together. It was because they were centered around an historic event. You know what that event was? It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection is what galvanized these believers and launched what the Bible calls, or what Jesus calls, the local church. This new institution or gathering of people called the body of Christ or the local church. And what this began as, it's what I'm believing that we understand today. That this thing called the local church began as a movement to change the world. One important thing we need to understand about the church is more than a location. The local church, friends, is a movement. And guess what movements are supposed to do? Movements are supposed to move. This is why you and I are here today. We are a movement centered around an historic event called the resurrection. And you and I are called to be witnesses of what we believe when it comes to the resurrection and everything else this Bible has to say. The goal for us today is I want us to rethink what church is all about and really answer this simple question. How involved will I be? How involved will I be? According to Matthew 16 and Acts 2, we see that the church is supposed to be moving forward. And it moves forward because of the person who is the head of the church, Jesus Christ. See, because Jesus is alive, the church is alive as well. Amen? Amen. You and I are part of something that is living, something that is active, something that is moving forward. Even though we've been facing this pandemic, let me tell you, the church has still been advancing forward. Because Jesus is always advancing forward. We serve, friends, an advancing, moving, living God. We may stop because things in our life get a little chaotic. Maybe this pandemic has made some things stop in our life or to push pause on some things, but not Jesus. Jesus never stops, he never pauses, and he definitely never goes backwards. Jesus never retreats. Because he is God, he is always on the move. The Greek word for the word church is ecclesia. And it simply means an assembly, a gathering, or a congregation. And if you read your New Testament, you see this all throughout the New Testament. When Jesus launched the church, what he launched was a gathering of people. And those people had a mission. Those people had a focus. But as you study church history, something began to happen. As you look at church history, something bad began to happen. The church went from a movement to just being about a location, really to having a mission to just people coming and sitting in seats. It went from every follower of Jesus proclaiming the resurrection to the church simply assigning one person, they call that person a pastor, to do all the ministry work. But when you read your New Testament, friends, this was not what the local church was all about. It was not about, hey, you pastor guy, I pay you, you go do the ministry. It was every believer, every disciple being equipped with the gospel, being equipped with how to communicate the simple message of the gospel, and it was their responsibility, not just one person's, to take this message of who this resurrected Jesus is everywhere they went. And this is what we desire to be when it comes to Bethel Community Church. And throughout this time, the church went through a terrible and embarrassing time. When you study church history, where everything was wrong with the church. And what happened is people's theology got all jacked up. Because whoever controlled the buildings these people were meeting in controlled the people. And whoever controlled the people controlled what? The money as well. And they begin to control what was being spoken or believed from the pulpit. And as you look, the focus got off God and God's mission. And what happened was spiritual leaders begin to manipulate the word of God to simply control people and use their own position, which was very ungodly, to gain power and wealth. And what started as a movement really became inward focused. And it really had no reflection of anything that the New Testament church was supposed to reflect. Now, here's the sad truth. Some of these same ideas are still affecting the church today. Well, we think that it's just our responsibility just to come and sit and listen to somebody speak and not do anything. Friends, this is not what the church, this is not what you and I are all about. It's not just about you coming to hear me or Pastor Richard or somebody else or watch your favorite preacher on television. It's about you being equipped with the message that this word has to hold to or holds or speaks of. It's about you believing in these promises. Amen? But here's what happened in the 1500s. God began to raise up a man called William Tyndale. William was a British author. And what he decided to do, he knew it was time for the average believer to have access to the Word of God. Because at that time, the Bible was only written in Hebrew. So the English-speaking people never could understand what this Word has to say. The promises that came from this Word. And what William did is he translated the Hebrew text into English. He printed them and smuggled them into England. Now, for the first time ever, English-speaking people could hold this Word and understand it for themselves. Now, certain people didn't like this, specifically people in power, because they knew if this living Word got out, then people would begin to act and think much differently. And one of these individuals that didn't like what was happening was named King Henry. See, William Tyndale was a bold man. He was a man of God. He was bold. And William stood up to King Henry and told him that divorcing his wife was unbiblical. So guess what happened to William Tyndale? Sure enough, because of his conviction, he was eventually tied to a stake, strangled, and burned to death. He died. But his work got out. This Bible, where people could read it, where people could understand it, where people could believe in it, it got out. And these ungodly spiritual leaders begin to lose their power because the word of heaven was believed. What was he doing? William was simply resurrecting this idea that Jesus started in Matthew 16 and in Acts chapter 2. That the church is a movement centered around an historic event called the resurrection. Now Jesus, being a great leader that he is, he knows how easy it is for you and I, as his followers, to get off track. This is what happens in church history, and it still happens today. We get off track, and we begin to see church as something that many times is just here for me. So when we come to a church, what do we look for? Hey, do I like the music? Do I like the pastor? Does he say the things that I like for him to say? What about the children's ministry? So, what about the coffee, right? Man, we got to have good coffee. Lord, have mercy. The kingdom of God can't advance without good coffee. I don't like coffee. I like sweet tea, though. We need to start selling, not selling, but giving away sweet tea. So what happens is we begin to see church really as something that really does not line up with why Jesus even began this movement. He has to refocus us. And we see even in the scripture here, he also had to do the very same thing to his original followers. These men and these women walked with him on a daily basis. You would think they would get it right. But we see they struggled with understanding, number one, who Jesus was, and number two, what he was doing. So here in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asking a very important question. Hey, who are people talking? What are people saying about me? They say, well, man, Jesus, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Basically, what they were saying is Jesus is just like one of those crazy people. That's what they were saying. All those crazy prophets, that's what Jesus is like. But I love Jesus because Jesus is never worried about what others say. He's worried about what you have to say. He looks at them and he gets very personal with them. He says, who do you, forget about what everybody else has to say about who I am. Who do you say that I am? Peter, being the bold one in the group, the courageous one. Nobody else wanted to answer. They were scared they would get it wrong. Peter steps up and says, you are the Messiah. I mean, you're the Christ. Everything in this Old Testament, Peter was saying, this is pointing to you. You are the Son of the living God. What was Jesus' response to Peter's statement? He said, upon this rock. Now that rock, friends, is not Peter. Some denominations got that all messed up. It's not Peter. The rock he's talking about is the rock of revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the rock Jesus said, I will build my church on. Jesus doesn't build his rock on human beings. He would never say, Peter, upon you, I'm going to build my church. Because he knows we as humans do what? We make mistakes. We mess up. We do dumb things. But Jesus said, upon this rock of who I am, I will build my church. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build a building where people just come and sit. He's saying, I'm building a church. I'm building a people, a gathering, a movement, praise God, which the gates of hell will not overcome. Talking about being something, being a part of something that's special, being a part of something that's powerful. It's called the local church. This is why the church will never stop, because Jesus is in charge. He's the leader of the church. He is why, friends, you and I are here today. He is the builder of us. Not me, not you, it's Jesus. Now that encourages me. Again, because no matter how many good or bad decisions people may make, we can take confidence today that what we are part of will last until Jesus Christ returns. Because he is the head. I don't care what a leader may do, spiritual leader, pastor, whatever. Jesus is the head. This should give us great confidence. We are a part of something today that is called the universal body of Christ, the church. And friends, it will never fail. Leaders may fail, but not Jesus. And therefore, not you and I, the church. Now, because we're the church, we're a gathering of people, and we have a mission given to us by our leader, Jesus, that means we've got something to do. There should be something that we are about as followers of Jesus. We should live a certain way. We should talk a certain way because of who we follow. And Acts chapter 2 tells us what we are to do. The disciples, again, are just like you and I. They were stirred by Jesus. And they wanted to know from him, hey, Jesus, what do you want us to do? And what a good question. They had another one. But in Acts 2, what we see, so they had another question, and we'll get to that, those in a moment. But here in Acts, what we see is, let's put ourselves in their position. They've been following Jesus. He's been doing miracles, healing folk. This is somebody you don't want to leave. Jesus, don't leave us. But now Jesus has left them. He's gone. So they just kept doing what they knew to do. And what that was is them just being together. They stayed together. They were gathering together. Now, they were in hiding because they were scared to death. You would have been too. Your great leader is gone. You got these crazy people called the Roman Empire chasing you, wanting to kill you. That's why they were in the upper room crying out to God, Lord, help us. I don't think there was not a lot of prayers of faith going on at that time. It was more like, Lord, help. We don't know what to do. They were confused. And so as they begin to see the resurrected Jesus, they asked him all these questions. Hey, Jesus, what are you doing? Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Hey, are you going to raise up an army and take over? See, he's looking to you. Hey, Jesus, what are you going to do? Are you going to come back and are you going to do all this for us? But Jesus' response to all these questions is this. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, if I was there, I was thinking, Jesus, that's not the question I asked. Why are you talking about power? Because they were looking to him to do all of this. Jesus was saying, I've already done what I've needed to do. I've died, I've defeated death and hell, I've risen from the dead, and I'm instituting the local church, and it's your responsibility. You're empowered by me. The Spirit of God lives in you. And now it's your responsibility to take this gospel everywhere that you go. It was them. Yes, they had to look to him. But Jesus wasn't going to show up again and start preaching. He was going to minister and preach the gospel through them. Whew. It says, with this power, the Spirit of God living in us, you will be my witnesses to the world. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying you are a part. And he's saying this to us this morning. That we are a part of a living movement. And our responsibility is to accurately represent what Jesus has done for us to the entire world. Now again, put ourselves in this situation. Imagine being there with the 11 disciples. and hearing this mission being given of it's your responsibility to take over the world. Could you imagine? This is what they heard. This is what they were hearing from Jesus. That it was their job to witness to every creature, every person, every tribe, every tongue. This was their mission. Friends, it's the same for you and I today. Our mission is to take over the world. Not just your neighborhood, not just our city, but the entire world. See, Jesus wants to paint us a bigger picture today. In your life, if you have a family, your family, your job, everything is supposed to be a witness to this mission that Jesus has called you and I to. We as a church family are more than just a place that we gather together on a Sunday morning. Friends, Bethel Community Church, this church, you and I, we are a movement. We are on the move because our commander is on the move. Why do we love people? Why do we love every ethnicity? Why is this room filled with white people, black people, Hispanic people, Asian people? Because Jesus loves every ethnicity. He loves every black person, every white person, every Hispanic person, every Asian person, no matter what ethnicity. We love people because Jesus loves people. We value people because Jesus values people. Why do we make disciples? Because this is the mission of Jesus. Why do we gather together? Because Jesus told us how important it is that you and I come together as a church family. Friends, we are a fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 16 and Acts chapter 2. You and I are a fulfillment of that prophecy right here in Clarksville, Tennessee, and at Fort Campbell. But the question for us then, if we see this, what Jesus is doing, if we see that we are a movement on the move, the question for you and I is, how involved will we be? Will we be a part of this movement? Not just will you come on Sunday morning, but will you be a part of this living, breathing movement called the church? Will you be a part? Listen, I'm thankful that you come on Sunday morning. I say it all the time. Please keep coming. I need somebody to talk to. But it's more than just what we do here on a Sunday morning. Yes, it is a part of it. But you're missing out. You're missing out if that's all it is. It's about being a part of the whole. It's about being a part of this movement that Jesus is leading. Well, how am I a part of it, Lance? It's simple. Number one, you decide to follow Jesus. We sung about it this morning. Jesus has to be your Lord and Savior. You can't be a part of a church unless you're a part of Jesus first. Let's get that right, right? You got to serve Him. You got to confess Him. This is exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. They were cut to the heart. What was that? They were pierced. The message of the gospel pierced them. I am far from God. And Jesus is the only way that I come back into relationship with my living Father, God. He's the only way. They were cut. They were cut. Have you ever been cut? That cut is what's called godly sorrow. It's where I'm sorry for my sins. I realize that my heart is wicked. I am separated from God. I know it's not a comforting message, but it's truth. And you'll never walk in an authentic relationship with Jesus until there's a cutting. That's why I pray on a continual basis, Holy Spirit, cut me. I've been cut once, but I've been cut many times. Not just on April 14th of 2000. I've been cut because I cry out, give me greater conviction. God, give me a greater sense of the fear of the Lord because I want to follow Jesus. I don't just want to be a part of a church. I want to be a part of Jesus first. I serve Him. I live for Him. Then I get connected to this movement called the church. For us, that starts with starting point. You go to starting point. And you learn about the mission and the vision of this church. Friends, listen to me. Never attend a church unless you've gone through whatever they offer. It could be called membership class, starting point, whatever it's called, because you could be going to a cult. Thank God this is not one of them, but you need to go to Starting Point to find out. No, you can hear it from the pulpit. This is not a cult. At least I hope not, Pastor Vince. I'm just kidding. Pastor Richard might be. No, he's not here. We can make fun of him today. You go to Starting Point. You find out about what we're all about. Find out about our values, devotion, diversity, discipleship. You find out that we're a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. You find our mission, what our heart beats for. That happens at Starting Point. You find a place to serve. Friends, you just don't come and sit. You get involved and you serve. One of the greatest open doors that we have in our community is what happens on Sunday morning. When people gather here on a Sunday morning, you felt it today, the presence of God shows up. That's not the only place that it happens. But people come to check out our church mainly on a Sunday morning. If you go to our churches in Manila, Philippines, they do it actually the opposite. Most people check out their church through a small group, what they call victory groups. It's Victory Manila. That's not the way it is in America. Most people check out our church on a Sunday morning. That's why we serve in our children's ministry, in our guest services, our greeter team, our usher team, our cafe, all those things. Why? Because we are a family expecting guest. And we're trying to reach our community with the gospel. We serve. We get involved in a community group. It's got to be more than just this. You need to have people in your life that you can call throughout the week. Listen, I'll give you my number. But if everybody calls me, I'm going to get a divorce. So don't do it. I'll give you my number, but don't call me. I'm just kidding. You can text me. That would help. Pastor Richard and I, we make ourselves available as pastors. But you know what I've learned? Sometimes you don't need me. Sometimes you need Doug and Stacy Protovansky. Sometimes you need Sergio and Katie Rodriguez. Sometimes you need Jerry and Keith Moore. Sometimes you need Miss Gail. Sometimes you need somebody else besides a knucklehead pastor. We need one another. The only way that can happen, you know it can't happen on Sunday morning. Man, it's hustle and bustle. We're here. We got another service coming in. We're all over the place. Kids are running everywhere. This is why a community group is so vital. It's vital for you growing your relationship with Jesus, but it's also vital as you're a part of this movement. You choose to give. Listen, you take your hard-earned dollars, hello, and you give it to the local church. You give. You're generous. You sow, not just to keep the lights on, but you do it because you are a part of a movement. And we are on the move. Participating in these things, making a commitment to do these things, allows us to connect to the movement called the local church. Jess, you can come on up. Vince, come on up here, big champ, so I'll hush. You know, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter stood up and he preached about this historic event in history, the resurrection, and people could get cut to the heart, and their question was, what shall we do? Or really, that was the same question I just, how involved should I be? And what I do love about Peter didn't say, his answer wasn't, go sit in a building. That was not his answer. What did he say? He said, repent, believe. He said, be filled with the Holy, be water baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and be added to the local church. Be added to the movement is what Peter was saying. Jesus is smart. He knows what he's doing. He's building his church. The question is, are we going to be a part? My hope for every one of us is we just say yes. Now, are there other great churches in Clarksville, Fort Campbell? You better believe it. A lot. There's a lot of great churches in this city. But my hope is that the Holy Spirit stirs us and whoever else the Holy Spirit would draw to say, yes, Lord, this is my family, this is where I belong, and I am going to connect to this movement that I'm a part of. Father, help us today. Lord, this little simple practical step that Vince is going to talk about, Lord, I pray that we would take it. But more than that, let us see that we're part of a movement. And we're on the move. Lord, you're using us to change this world. Jesus, have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Vince, come on up here, big
Amen. Faith.